2 o'clock this morning, I was awake. So at 11:30, I'll probably go to sleep. 3 years ago, almost to the day, I talked about Paul. I talked about Paul and on the road to Damascus. I came up here with notes, even more notes than I have now. 29 pages I have this time. I think I had 35 or 36. I got as far as he saw the light on the road to Damascus and his world changed. I was talking to Ben 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and I said, well, I haven't really got much further than that. But Ben persuaded me to talk. Said to Lizzie last Sunday, I've got stacks of notes, stacks of thoughts. And I'm sure she prayed and others prayed. And at 2 o'clock this morning, the Lord took me to Galatians 5, verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. That was written by Paul. Almost 100% certain he wrote Galatians. Although if you were reading some of the material I've seen on the internet, there's not certainty about a lot of the letters that are attributed to him. When he got on the road to Damascus, the Lord met him, touched his life, and shook his world upside down. He was a man born in Tarsus, which is part of Turkey now. You can actually see ruins of Tarsus even to today. And I think there's a town there right now. I was looking at some photographs the other day. It was a major town, city, Roman-held city. Its one claim to fame prior to that is it's where Antony and Cleopatra met some 60, 70 years before Paul was born. It was a thriving center with a small population of Jews. Paul was born there. He was born, I believe, to a Pharisee, which is why he became a Pharisee. His father was a Pharisee, and his father was a Roman citizen. That was rare, very rare. He grew up in a prosperous family. He was part of the synagogue, and he went down to Jerusalem when he was 12 or 13 to study, to really become a Pharisee. And that was his future. That was where he was going. That was what he was doing on that road to Damascus. He was supporting the Pharisees' view. He'd studied in detail under the experts. The expert, as he refers to, and there's a lot of references which surprised me to Paul, not only in his letters but in Acts. He studied under Gamaliel, who was either the son or the grandson, nobody's quite sure, of Hillel, who was probably the premier Pharisaic teacher just before Paul went down there in about AD 16 or 17. He stayed there 5 years, we're fairly certain, and he studied, he debated, he argued, he really learned the whole thing, and he became a Pharisee right from top to bottom. He knew it. He was able to communicate very clearly. He became a fanatic. And as a young man in his 20s and 30s, and certainly in his early 30s, anything that went against the Pharisees' view, he would take them on. He was there, as I mentioned last time, at Stephen's death. He was the man who held the coats. He was the man who probably gave authority to the stoning of Stephen. Shortly after that, not quite sure of the date, he headed out to Damascus to continue to take the Christians on and to drive the Pharisees' view across the Jewish community. The Pharisees, as I discovered and I didn't know, were very close to the Roman administration, far closer. They were accepted. They were the only part of the Jewish hierarchy that actually continued after the sacking of Rome in AD 70. They could be called collaborators. They worked closely with the Romans. They wanted to maintain the status quo, and Paul was headed for the top to be a leader, to be the leader of that potentially. And then it all changed on that road. He saw the light, as Lizzie reminded me, and he went blind. And everything that he had grown up with was turned on his head. Everything that he believed, thought, understood, that was pointing in one direction, actually started to be pointed to Christ, who he was persecuting. He had a personal revelation of Jesus on that road. And Jesus became his Messiah. He goes to Damascus, and I'm sure he was sharing with a real passion, as we say, passion for Jesus in Damascus, to any and everybody he met, to the point where he had to flee. I'm sure that everything was disturbed in Damascus, and he possibly had to flee for his life. Now, thinking back to what I said 3 years ago, I realized that I suggested he didn't return to Jerusalem for 20 years. That's not correct. He went there 3 years later, but before that, he went down to Sinai. I'm sure he worked in Sinai, but actually, he spent time, I'm sure, with the Lord, examining and talking to people there about all that he had believed and all it meant to be following Christ. He then goes to Jerusalem and meets with the apostles. He was different from the apostles. Peter and the others had grown up in Jerusalem. They were fishermen, and they were quite a close-knit community. Paul was somewhat of an outsider, possibly somewhat of an intellectual. He had money behind him, and he had a passion for us, for the Gentiles. That is the passion that stayed with him the whole of his life. He saw the need to go out and to bring Jesus to the Gentiles, the people that the Jewish faith would accept into the synagogue if they went through certain ceremonies. But Paul didn't believe that's what the Lord said. He could just present Christ to them. So he goes back to his home, to Tarsus, and spends 8 years in that area, just sharing with the Gentiles, working as a tent maker, I believe. However, as I told Claire yesterday, I found one document on the internet that debated his occupation for 39 pages.
Unbelievable. Now, I can understand there are some variations in the Greek. Some of them even suggested he was, may well have been, he made stages for the amphitheatres. I'm not so sure. I think he was a tent maker. He was a worker of leather. He made tents for the Romans because they needed the tents, because they needed it for the centurions. That's what I believe. I'll know one day what it was. But it brought him into contact with a lot of people. It brought him into contact with people at the markets, the people he bought the leather from, the Romans, the people, you know, the Romans who actually took the leather, and it was in huge demand, and it supported him for the rest of his life. The fact that he was a tent maker, he didn't, and quite obviously he made money at it, because the other thing that the apostles reminded him is to remember the poor. So he gave money to the poor. So he's back at Tarsus. He's still growing and understanding. He's still passionate. He's probably about 40 years old. And then the Lord calls him out on his many journeys. He goes to Cyprus and Galatia in 47 or 48 AD, sharing his trade, sharing his passion for Jesus, and meeting with them. So the Galatians are one of the earliest groups of people that met him. And he helped set up the church there in Galatia. He was the apostle that reached out to them. He goes to Jerusalem in AD 49-ish and argues with the apostles and others that Gentile Christians do not have to follow the law. And he confronts Peter over the question of Jewish law. Now, this is interesting, and this is where I am wondering, and maybe what the Lord was challenging me about at 2 o'clock in the morning, is that are there areas in our life where we have lost that freedom, where we have acquired bits of the law, and we're not, and it's stopping us walking passionately for Jesus? Is Paul confronting us as he confronted me at 2 o'clock? Are there areas that he wants to restore our freedom, to set us free in him? There are many thoughts about Paul. What was he like? I don't think he was 6'4". I think he was quite a small man, quite a fiery man. Was he, as we're all led to believe, difficult to get on with? Ben challenged me 2 weeks ago, and I think he's probably right. It was fake news. Paul was easy to get. Look at all the people he wrote to, talked to. He must have been easy to get on with. To share his passion for Jesus, people would listen to this individual with all the unique skills that God had given him. He wasn't shy. He would talk to anybody, I think. He would talk about his faith in Jesus because he heard the Holy Spirit speaking to him and reminding him and prompting him far more than probably most of us. There was a lot of fake news. Everybody who didn't like Paul slandered him, wrote stories about him, said things. Talking of fake news, as I went from my walk this morning, don't forget fake news started with Jesus at his trial, no one could agree. So all the media writing about fake news now, it's nothing new. But Paul had a passion. Paul had a passion the whole of his life, and he lived to about 64 when he was martyred. Why is that relevant to me? In June, I am 64. And I want that passion. I want that freedom to share that passion about Jesus when I'm 64, 74, 84. In the ways that Paul shared it. Yes, he could stand up in front of a statue in Athens and talk to the Athenians in the way the Athenians would understand. But he could go to the market, where he spent a lot of time, and talk to the marketeers, the people who bought and sold. They would listen and talk to him. He wasn't brought up to do that because he was used to communicating with Pharisees in a certain way. But I'm sure the Holy Spirit changed him dramatically and gave him the power of communication to set him free, to talk, to share his passion, share Jesus. Everywhere he went, he took an opportunity to share. And he took people with him. Barnabas, Silas, and someone who I hadn't realized, but I am sure you all know, spent a long time with Paul, Luke. Luke went on his missions with him, and Luke wrote his gospel and then the Acts. He must have spent a long time with Paul. He must have spent a fair amount of time with Mark and some of the others. But as one of my readings this week showed, that Luke's was a very well-researched gospel, and it was based on facts and information. And the same with Acts. It describes a lot about Paul's journey. From Acts 11 onwards, it's primarily about Paul. How did he get that information? He was with Paul. I must have known it, but I didn't realize it. So Luke was a great friend of Paul, I'm sure, and they shared things. Paul continues to travel for about 10 years in his 50s. But he's also staying in contact with the churches and the communities he founded, or helped found. He's aware of what's happening. The problem is, for me, is I'm so used to the internet, to the fact that if I wanted to go to Athens, I could be there in 8 hours. If I wanted to know what was happening in Athens, I only had to have to connect my phone. Those days, it took a long time. And if they wanted to send messages even across Turkey or Asia Minor, as it was called, it would take time. People would come with the messages, but they would communicate them and they would share them. Sometimes I view some of the journeys and some of the things it acts in today's terms and forget that everything took a lot longer in those days. But they did share, they did write, they did communicate, and Paul reached out to them. So he was aware of what was happening to the Galatians, what was happening in Thessalonica, to the Corinthians and Romans, and he wrote letters to them. He definitely wrote 1 Thessalonians, Galatians, both Corinthians, Philemon, and Romans. He may have written, but he certainly, I would suggest, influenced the second book of Thessalonians, Colossians, Ephesians, Timothy and Titus. There is doubt whether he actually wrote them himself, but there are influences. And there's a lot of fact that actually people are communicating and writing, and the Holy Spirit and God brought them all together into this amazing word that every time I look at it, I learn more about him, about the Holy Spirit, about the way he works. I'm still thinking about his journeys, that he reached out and touched a group of people who were never, you know, very few of them had heard anything about the Jewish faith. There were small, insular communities of Jews in those countries. They were no different in some ways to the Jewish communities that are today. They are insular. Paul reached out through that. And Jesus reached out and touched a huge number of people. Paul continues to travel and then returns to Jerusalem. One of the reasons Paul was able to travel so freely was he was a Roman citizen. As I said, very rare, I think, as far as Jews were concerned. And he was Roman citizen because of his father or his family's heritage. Somebody suggested he may well have been, his father or his grandfather may well have been a slave who was set free. And that is why they became Roman citizens. It gave him a lot more freedom than a lot of other people. We all know that at the end, in Jerusalem, he was able to claim that actually he could make a case before Caesar because he was a Roman citizen. But it also meant he could travel. He was free. Throughout his life, Paul preached freedom and was passionate about it, to challenge where people were starting to tie themselves up or bind themselves to things or to the past. He reminded them. He reminded the Galatians in Galatians 1, "It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery." We know it is a song. As he walked beyond Damascus, he learned to hear the Holy Spirit prompting him, encouraging him, changing him, developing him, molding him. Paul, the fanatic, the radical that we knew prior to Damascus, grew. And the Holy Spirit's fruit within his life grew. It gave him a love. It gave him joy. It gave him peace, patience. My reading of Paul is the man, there's a man that needed patience, but the fruit and the Holy Spirit gave him patience. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the fruit that Paul experienced in his life, and he wanted everybody to experience through freedom in Christ. And it was a fruit that continued to grow throughout his life. If you look at some of the time when he was in prison in Rome, That was some of the time where I'm sure that those fruit grew the greatest. For a man who had travelled the best part of 20 years all over that area to be tied down, firstly under house arrest and then in prison, that fruit must have set him free. Certainly to write and to share and to encourage and to continue speaking for the rest of his life. But for me, the most important message that I got at 2 o'clock this morning is I think Christ really wants to continue to set us free from things that are tying us back and tying us down. I think back to when I became a Christian, a real Christian, somebody who really became passionate about Jesus, as you can some of you probably already know, I'm sure I've told you before. It was at the Festival of Life in Trafalgar Square in 1971, I think, where 20,000 Christians danced. Was it 71? Yes. Danced in Trafalgar Square and really were on fire for Jesus. And he's saying to me, at 64, Paul was the same, if not more so. He was still on fire. And that's what I want. And I want more freedom in Christ. And I think, you know, I don't want to say much more. There are 29 pages, but partly I can't read them because I don't have bifocals. But I actually think I'd like to pray for some people, and others would like to receive more of Christ's freedom. I'd encourage you to look at Paul. If you haven't, just walk the journey through Acts and look at the references in Galatians, Philemon. There are quite a lot. He talks about Damascus, his road to Damascus experience in Galatians before Acts, about 10 years before. That's how Luke found out about it. And there are other cross-references in there as well. It's worth looking at. I think there's still another talk on Paul from me, maybe 3 years' time, I don't know. We shall see. I am retired now. It's been an amazing week this week, even just researching it and thinking about it, and waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning and finding where I start. So, Father, I just thank you for all you did through Paul and all that Paul, through you, shared with everyone he met. He was passionate for you. He had a freedom in the second half of his life that enabled him to go wherever you wanted him to go. He heard your voice. He heard your prompting. And when you closed doors, he didn't push through. He waited. Father, whatever age we are, whatever stage we are, we want more of you, more of your freedom to share you, more of your passion, more of your prompting of your voice, the quiet whisper of your voice wherever we go. And that, Jesus, you will sweep away the debris that we've collected over the years that is just not of you, or that's in our lives from generations past, that is tying us down so that we can share you with all those you bring alongside us in whatever situation we're in. In Jesus' name, amen.